Hi there, it's Dr. Linda with The Psychology Behind. Now, this week, I want to talk about money. I think it's something that no matter at what stage of life you are, no matter how old you are, no matter how much you have, I think is integral in terms of how we think about it. Now, when we think about improving our well-being, right, in general, we think about going to the gym, we think about eating better and connecting with friends. But one area that's actually been found to really be linked with well-being that often gets overlooked is how we feel about and deal with our finances. Financial worries can have a devastating effect on mental health. Now, according to research, and this is relatively new research in the University of Nottingham, people who struggle with debt are more than twice as likely to suffer from depression. In fact, the emotional impact of debt worry can cause a kind of ripple effect so that it ends up impacting physical health and manifesting in symptoms like lack of sleep, increased blood pressure, even heart problems. And we spoke about lack of sleep a couple of weeks ago, so we know that kind of cycle of I can't sleep, I feel worse, I can't sleep that people get into. Now, there's also quite a lot of research to suggest that triggers such as that constant worry about money, feeling, being overwhelmed, of having no hope, right? These lead to severe anxiety. And almost a third of people with high debt stress also report severe anxiety. A third of people with debt stress. That's a significant number. Now, these findings have been replicated in several other studies, right? So social science medicine looked at household financial debt and looked at the impact of mental and physical health again, and unsurprisingly found that high amounts of debt were associated with much higher rates of stress, much higher rates of depression, to the point that even the Royal College of Psychiatrists examined like over 50 papers looking at the effects of financial stress on mental health and well-being, and found that men and women with poor credit behavior were more likely to report depressive symptoms. So it seems that the effect here is real, right? It's clear that money problems can impact our mental health, but we also know that they can impact the choices that we make in our relationships with others. And this is interesting. So recently, this was out in the University of Wisconsin, right? They did this study and they found that having levels of debt that were very high contributed to reduced marriage rates, especially amongst young adults. And one of the reasons for this is probably because the impact of debt can actually encroach on the way we relate, right? The way we discuss things, on our relationships in general. So one partner may resent the other as a way of coping with debt. It's not uncommon to blame each other for coming into the relationship with more debt, or feeling that it's your fault you've lost your job, or blaming each other for having poor spending habits. So those arguments about money, they end up being some of the top predictors of divorce. The fact is, worrying about debt and feeling insecure in our financial situation can lead to mental health problems like anxiety and stress, which can in turn actually contribute to making bad decisions around how we manage our finances. Basically, the worse we feel, the less likely we are to make good financial choices. And you know what I'm talking about here. You know when you're feeling down, so what do? You're kind of feeling a bit down, a bit depressed. So you don't open that bill. You kind of think, I'm not going to look at it now. I'll kind of think about it later. Or worse yet, you think, I need to make myself feel better. So you go out and you buy stuff that you don't need. Or you begin avoiding looking at your balances, right? You don't want to look at how much money you have left in your account. You don't want to look at your overdraft. The fact of the matter is, the worse we feel, the worse those choices are related to our money. And to complicate things further, these effects obviously don't occur in a vacuum. And so won't only impact one person in a household, but it'll impact everyone as well. And this can, of course, then potentially overflow into other areas of one's life, in the workplace and friendships and what have you. Our sense of self-worth is often linked to feeling safe and secure. And given that our finances can easily disrupt those feelings, it's important to take some time to think about how we can deal with them in a way that gives us a sense of control and security. So if you're feeling unhappy about the financial situation you find yourself in, if you're finding that you're feeling worse about yourself, worried about the future, there are some things you can do. So here are my 5 steps on making you feel better about your finances. Number 1, stop self-medicating with spending. Many people try and treat low mood by buying things that they don't need or indeed may not even be able to afford. If your spending habits are tied to difficult feelings, then it's time to find a more functional, indeed a less destructive way of dealing with those low feelings rather than getting into more debt. When you're feeling anxious or low, instead of avoiding the issue and distracting yourself with shopping, speak to a friend or engage in a behavior that helps you relax, whether it's doing something sporty or creative or doing something that brings you balance or gives you support. Engaging in a different behavior will not only help you in the short term, but will stand you in much better stead in the long term as well. Number two, avoid spending in autopilot. Now, electronic payments have made spending a whole lot easier, probably because when we use them, we tend to focus on the benefits of spending as opposed to the cost, right? You don't hand over cash, you don't count it out, you don't see that your wallet's kind of thinner. You just get that shiny bag, that shiny new thing, and that's what you focus on. And in fact, there's been a lot of studies that have suggested that if you actually hand over cash, like physically hand over cash, you are significantly more likely to reflect on what it took to get that cash. Indeed, in a now really famous study by Dun and Bradstreet, they found that people spent an average 12 to 18% more when using electronic payments instead of cash. Now, the fact is, though, you know, for good or for bad, we are increasingly becoming a cashless society. So it's important to find a way of taking account of what you're spending, regardless of how you pay. Now, there's a few simple steps that can help you do this. Try things like not browsing online when you're tired or not concentrating, right? So we all know that we make those bad spending choices when we're online. We've got our credit card. We're just kind of, you know, trying to buy a few things to feel better. Don't do that. Don't do this sort of directionless shopping. Shop when you need to, not just, you know, as a way of having fun. It's also really useful to do things like setting up regular online food shops to avoid impulse buying. Again, when we're shopping for food online, we're kind of browsing around. If you have your favorites to use every week, then you're much more likely to stay in budget, even though you're using electronic payments. The other thing I often tell people is to give themselves a cooling off period so that if you find something that you want to buy, think about it. Try and think about it, in fact, for, I don't know, 48 hours before you act. That's enough time to really think, is this something that I want? Will I want it, you know, tomorrow? Will I make good use of it? So at least if you're buying it, you really need it. And very importantly, keep a note of what you spend. Making a note will make you feel more aware and more accountable of what you're spending. Three, learn to budget. While most of us know precisely what we earn, when it comes to spending money, most of us don't have a real idea of where our money goes or how much we're spending, especially when we're not doing any proper accounting for it. So keeping clear, precise records of what you earn and what you spend will allow you to make better decisions, but it'll also give you, again, that sense of control over your finances that will make you feel kind of more stable and not as worried. So budgeting will allow you to prioritize and differentiate between things of what you really want rather than always giving into those kind of fleeting wants. And there is a difference, right? There is a difference about saying, you know what, I'm going to invest in a computer because it's something that I need. I do a lot of writing. It'll help me to do, you know, more work or better work, you know, as opposed to, it'd just be really nice to get one. You know, ask yourself, am I going to make use of this? Is this going to make me happy in a day, in a week, in a month? The more you think about it, the more accountable you feel. Number four, don't be afraid to ask for help if you need it. We live in a world that makes us feel less than when we don't have enough money. And as a consequence, many people feel ashamed to ask for help when they're in financial difficulty. It's because of this that I think they go into denial. First, they deny it to others and then ultimately to themselves. Ignoring reality is a handy defense mechanism. It's a way to rationalize mistakes. The problem is that reality always sets in. It always catches up to you. So it's key to be honest with yourself about your situation. It's like any other area in life that you need to deal with, right? Be it health or fitness. Sometimes you just need professional support to get you back on track. So don't avoid the problem. Face it head on and get the help you need. You can speak to a financial advisor or take, you know, classes on basic money management, and all of these things will help you plan out a budget and do the things you need to do to become more financially secure. And finally, number 5, remember to take it day by day. Look, change is hard, right? We're creatures of habit, and it's always easier to fall back into old ways of behaving. It's important, therefore, to see the changes that you are making not as these quick fixes, but rather as more deep-rooted changes to the way that you think about spending and life in general. Have realistic goals, and don't panic if you don't manage to meet all of them all the time. Just remind yourself daily what's important, you know, why you're making these changes. Keep in mind the emotional and health benefits that you'll gain as well. Just that sense of not having that thing hanging over your head, that, you know, that worry, that fear of checking that email or opening that letter. Like any healthy lifestyle change, the costs tend to be immediate and the benefits more long-term. So being able to delay gratification is key. I hope you found that useful. I hope you'll think about the way money affects your sense of well-being, and I hope these tips will help you feel better in the long run. I know I say it every week, but thanks a million for listening. And if you are enjoying this, you know, rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Keep those wonderful questions coming and keep listening.